threshing floors this week and probably next week. And then maybe we'll skip. We may finish next week. But either way, we will take the next 2 weeks after that for Good Friday and or for the crucifixion and for Resurrection Sunday. So I want you to have these scriptures here where we can come to them in a few minutes. But I want to just, what I'm doing every week by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, is to come at this from a different angle, from a different place in the Word of God, to show you a different threshing floor. This morning there are actually three that are briefly mentioned that I'm going to use just to point out some things. I wouldn't have done an entire sermon on any one of them. But I want to take you through another aspect before we begin this morning, or as we begin. I want to take you through the harvest, from the cutting of the wheat to the threshing floor. I want to back up a little bit from what we've done in previous weeks. And so, without looking at the scripture first this morning, I just want you to go in your mind's eye with me down to the field. And I want you to picture in your mind this beautiful field of wheat. It's summertime. It's the end of summer. There's a little taste of fall in the air. You can feel it in the air. And as you look out across the fields of Israel, they are gold with the color of wheat that has already grown and matured in the sun. And now it has become dry, parched, and it's ready for harvest. It's no longer green, but it's gold. And as we go down to the field and as we see the harvesters are coming into the field, we see men working in rows. Row by row they come with their sickles, with their blades, as they sing. Because when manual labor is performed in the fields in the heat of the day, it is a wearying and a tiring thing. And humans, as they are, find great comfort in singing songs as they work and as they harvest. And so there would be songs of harvest that were sung as they made their way through the fields. And I want you to see this very clearly in your mind's eye as we go down. The sun is warm upon your face. And the men are working and they are singing, and to the tune of their, to the beat of their song, there's the rhythm of the sickle as they cut through great bands of wheat and the wheat falls to the ground. This is the cutting off of the harvest from the earth. It is the cutting away of the wheat, of the grain from the earth, which has nourished it, from which it has gotten its source of supply for all of these days, as it has come to a place of maturity. This is the church age. This is the work of the church from the time of resurrection until the time that Jesus comes again, as the church has moved through the earth preaching the gospel and seeing the transformation of lives as people come to the kingdom of God. It is pictured for us in the Word of God as a great harvest. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe and they are ready for harvest." And he sent his church out and he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so we see the work of the sickle is the work of the church that goes into the world. And it is a violent work. And you say, "What do you mean by that?" It is a violent work. I don't know if you've ever seen some people come to the Lord and it's almost like they just slip into the kingdom very peacefully. They say, "Jesus, come into my heart." Other people come into the kingdom of God with great struggle and a great battle and a great war taking place over their soul before they ever bow the knee to Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you that for either one, the one who seems to slip quietly into the kingdom of God, even for that one, there's a spiritual violence that is taking place. For the Bible says that we were children, we were enemies of God, and we were children of Satan until we came and we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says that He, in the Hebrew or in the Greek, it literally says that He snatches us out of the kingdom of darkness and places us in the kingdom of light of His dear Son. It's the cutting of the wheat. It is the cutting off of the former supply. God comes into your life, and when you were born again, it is truly, whether you realize it in fullness right then or not, It is the cutting away of your former source of supply. You were born of the natural, the Bible says. First the natural, then the spiritual, the Apostle Paul says. Jesus said you must be born from above, he told Nicodemus. And so first you were born of the natural, you were born of this earth, and all of your supply, all of what you receive comes from this earth, just like that grain growing in the field. But when it's time for harvest, and Jesus presents his truth to you in such a way that you resist him no more, you yield yourself to the sickle. He puts the knife to your life and cuts off your former supply and says, I am now your supply. I am now your source. You are now born of the Spirit. You are now born from above. It is your separation from the earth. And the harvesters come and they slice and they cut and the grain falls to the ground. Born from above. And now the grain, which is going to be taken to the threshing floor, now the grain has great potential, but it is only potential until it is realized. Amen? Isn't it true in your life that there is much potential in God, but not all of it has been realized? Oh, my invitation to you today is that you would agree with God, that you would turn your heart in faith, and that you would come and say, I want to realize the full potential of why you created me. I want to realize the full potential of what it means to come to fruitfulness, what it means to come to maturity, to be brought to the threshing floor in order for you to work that work in my life which you have ordained for me. And so the grain is laid upon the ground with great, great potential. And now more workers come. And they come row by row through the fields with cords attached to their waist. And they gather up great bundles of grain and they tie it with cords. You see it at harvest time here in our country, at harvest festivals. You see it in old paintings and drawings. You see the shocks of wheat, the stalks of wheat, standing upright with the cords around them. And so they gather them with cords into bundles. Again, I'm talking about the church age. They gather the wheat into bundles, bundle by bundle, being made ready for the work of God that is going to take place. They are gathered into churches. Because, beloved, God never ordained that any man or woman, boy or girl, can grow and can come to the threshing floor of His Spirit apart from being gathered together with other believers in unity, being gathered together with the same mind and the same purpose. It's pictured for us and commanded for us in the Word of God in so many places. Symbolically, when Jesus went out and a great multitude followed him as he went up on the mountainside to teach. And the people became hungry, for they had not eaten the entire day. And Jesus said, you feed them. And they said, how can we feed them? Jesus said, is there no food here? And they found the little boy who had the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus said, gather them into companies, 50 by 50. 50 by 50, he set them on the mountainside. And beloved, it's an ideal number, believe it or not, for the church. There are entire denominations that if they have reached 50 to 100, they split and form new churches. It's been a historical pattern throughout history. And so 50 by 50, they are gathered and they are put in companies together in order to be fed by the hands of Jesus, the Lord. And the Lord bundles us together group by group in order to receive from His hand and in order to be transported to the threshing floor. And so there are the shocks of wheat bundled together in groups, and more workers come. You know, there's some workers in the church who are great at cutting that wheat. They are evangelists, and they are so good at presenting that word in such a way that people become believers, anointed for that purpose. There are others in the church who are great at bringing people into the church and saying, you need to be here with us. We want you here. We want you to fellowship with us and be with us together in this. And then there are other workers who are great leading you into a place of discipleship. So there are workers who come and they gather up the bundles onto carts. And they take them to the threshing floor in order for the grain to be separated from the chaff, the worthless things, so that it might become useful for a much greater purpose. And you know, sometimes when the wheat is gathered into bundles and it's carried to the threshing floor, there's some stray stalks of wheat that fall by the wayside. And I'm telling you this morning that those lone rangers, those stalks of wheat that aren't gathered into bundles, listen to me closely. And there are those who will be listening by internet, so I'm not saying that anyone in here is a lone ranger. But those who refuse to be gathered into bundles, they miss the opportunity to go to the threshing floor. They miss the great things that happen on the threshing floor of God. So the workers come and they carry them to this rocky floor on the mountaintop. This place where the grain is unbound now and it's thrown down in a hard place. We've talked about this now for some 5 or 6 weeks. The grain on the threshing floor, those hard times, those wrestling matches with God, those attacks of the enemy, those struggles in your marriage, those things in your life, those sins that you still struggle against and He wants to bring you through to victory, those things in your personality, those things in your character, those things where you need to hear more clearly the voice of God and He's wanting to bring you to a place where you can hear Him better. And you come to the threshing floor and it seems like you're getting bruised and you're getting beaten up, when in fact the Lord is, He is doing a work in order to remove from you the worthless things that are hindering your walk with God, that are standing in the way, so that you can be brought into the greater purpose for which His grain is created in the first place. And you come to that threshing floor, and beloved, I would say, everybody has a testimony of when they came to Christ. Oh, I accepted Jesus when I was 8 years old. Oh, I was an alcoholic and the Lord spoke to me and I came and I yielded. And I want to tell you this morning, as I put the sermons, the messages from last week on the internet, the testimony service, what a powerful service. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful service that was. Amen. And I noticed something as I was thinking about this message. This was what thrilled me so much. While many of the testimonies included how you came to Christ, I don't think any of them ended with that. It was the threshing floor. It was where you are now. It was the struggles that you're going through or have gone through, and how faithful Christ is in those times and how He uses it. You know, the Bible says He produces gold in us. He puts us in the fire in order to purify us and bring us through into a place of greater usefulness to Him. And that's what I heard as I listened to the testimonies from last week. And so the bundles fall on the rocky floor, on the hard place, and they're beaten, they're trampled underneath the hooves of the animals, stomped upon, thrown up into the wind so the pure grain will fall and will remain. And the husk will simply be blown away. And once again, as the workers work, as they trample down the grain, they form a rhythm. And as they work, and as they trample, and as they throw up the grain, they sing the songs of the harvest. And beloved, there's no greater testimony than when you are part of the kingdom of God and part of the church of Jesus Christ, and you feel like your life is being trampled on the threshing floor, and you don't even understand sometimes why God's allowing what He's allowing. But faith tells you in the Word of God that there is a grand purpose, and you're able to look beyond your own feelings, your own failures and your own pains and your own sorrows. And as the grain of your life is being trampled, you sing the songs of Zion. You come to church and you worship, not just in church, but in the shower. You worship and you lift up songs of praise to God, even though there's a great struggle taking place, because you know who's going to win. Right. And you know that He's faithful. And you know that He's got a greater purpose for you than where you are even right now. And you know that He's going to bring you through on the other side, and it's going to be like gold. Precious gold. Praise God. The threshing floor is a place of singing. It is the work of the Holy Spirit testing. Testing the heart and proving the heart. Testing our faith. Purifying us. Separation. Separation taking place. The Word of God says that we are to be separate from the things of this world in the sense that we live in this world, but we're not of it. There's a spiritual separation that takes place. And so there is an end time significance to all of this. To the time in which we're living, as things grow worse and as society just seems to come unraveled around us, and we know that it's a time of transition into a time of tribulation, into a time that none of us look forward to, into a time of great testing, great sorrow, also a time of great proving of the power of God in the lives of God's people. So I want to take you, I want to just show you where I think these three scriptures speak to us. And they're brief, each one of them, what I'll have to say concerning them. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah," which means citadel. But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." The robbing of the threshing floors. The threshing floor is a place to be protected in your life, not run from. It is a place to be cherished in your life, not a place to be avoided. It is a place that the enemy is doing everything that he can right now. He has no greater desire than to rob you of the work that can only take place on the threshing floor. To cause you in your time, as you realize that you're on this threshing floor, you're coming to this threshing floor, and that it's difficult. I won't tell you that it's not difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's weeping in the night. Sometimes there's a great struggle because you don't think anybody else understands you. Sometimes there's a, as was mentioned earlier, a hopelessness that seems to arise, and you have to go back to the Word of God and be reminded of the faithful promises of God. But it is a place that is to be embraced, not a place to be run from. Because if you run from the threshing floor, you get robbed of what God has for you. Without the threshing floor, there's no great, great plan that's accomplished in your life. Beloved, I had to make the determination in years past. In my ministry, at some time, I had to determine what it might cost. What it could cost me. You know, when I entered the ministry, there was no thought of persecution coming to the United States of America. And some years into ministry, God began to speak to me about the things that are coming. Not a prophet, and He didn't give me a timeline, but I can tell you they're much closer than they were. And it will not be a time of pleasantries for those who will not compromise in their walk with God. And I realized in one moment that I was saying, "Yes, Lord, if it meant imprisonment. Yes, Lord, if they want to lock the doors of the church because I refuse to preach a tolerant message. To compromise the Word of God that has been given to us for something that's weak and powerless and that cannot transform lives." There are costs. There are costs. when you say, Lord, I will do this no matter what it costs me. But beloved, if you don't come to the threshing floor, and if you don't ever see those things, if you don't hear His voice, if you don't know what He's saying, put aside this, put this aside, you'll never get through to the other side, to the fullness that He has for you. The usefulness that He has for you, the victory over those things that plague you right now in your life. Some of you are plagued with things. You're beset with problems, both internally and externally, that you have no power to overcome in your own strength. But at the threshing floor, where you let God deal with your heart and you say, whatever it takes, Lord, I want victory, then the Lord's able to carry you through, and He's able to do a supernatural work in your life. But the enemy wants to rob your threshing floor. He wants to steal it from you. And you have to be aware spiritually of what he's trying to do in your life. The second one is 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 10 through 24. And I'm not going to teach in depth on this. You're just going to have to get a little summary. But there's a point that I want to make. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Notice that all the prophets in the land, they're all gathered. They're all prophesying, and they're prophesying good and pleasant things. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenanan, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. It's what most of the prophets in America, most of those who preach a word to people in government and to people in big ministries. Oh, God's on your side. Go and do this thing. You cannot fail because He's a God of prosperity. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Beloved, you're on dangerous ground when you tell the prophets how to prophesy. And you tell them, you speak something smooth. You come on and you speak a word, but it better be something that encourages everybody. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. I don't know why, except he's toying perhaps with the king, why he first prophesied something smoothly. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Because he knew that this was a true prophet. Then he said, Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forth and stood before the Lord, and he said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do it. For some of you, that will be a very perplexing scripture. But I'm here to tell you that God is sovereign. And God will allow, if what you want in your life is deception, if you want to only hear the good things, and you're not willing to hear the correction of the Lord and the direction of the Lord, He will allow lying spirits to lie to your mind. He will allow the enemy to come because you have worshipped the enemy rather than God by saying, I don't want to hear what God has to say. No matter what it is, I open myself up, and you are vulnerable and you are open to any kind of word that comes. And it will come as a smooth sounding word, but it will be contrary to the word of the living God. This is the polluting of the threshing floor. It says they were sitting at the threshing floor, and every threshing floor in the Word of God has spiritual significance. This is where we live today, beloved. The polluting of the threshing floor with a multitude of voices out there speaking many things that sound so good that people will give them money. That speak so good that they could attract giant followings. All the while teaching principles and doctrines of demons that depart from the truth of the living God. Earthly minded religious and civil leaders will listen to these things because they do not want to be told the truth that cuts. They don't want the real threshing floor. One prophet in the midst of a multitude will stand and truly speak the word of the Lord. The word of judgment. The Bible says in these last days there's a great falling away. But God always has a remnant. Amen. My prayer is that you will always be part of that remnant. Amen. Who is willing to go to the threshing floor and say, God, speak to me no matter what it costs. Amen. No matter what it is, Lord. I want to know truth. Amen. Isaiah chapter 21. The final call. The final call of the threshing floor. Verse 10. I have to give you the context. Isaiah is preaching a word of judgment where God is telling them what the price will be for all of their idolatry, all of their worldliness, all of their materialism, all of their loving false things rather than the truth of God. And therefore, God's people are being, because they are in the midst and many of them are compromised and polluted in their beliefs and their practices, they are suffering. They're suffering along with the enemies of God. Do you believe God will allow that? Do you believe that God, some of you might not, but I can prove it in the Word of God if you need me to. That God will allow a nation like America, when Christians in America, when the majority become polluted in their faith, not true to the truth of the Word of God. When a nation begins to turn its back on God, mock God, and to discount the things of God. Do you not know that God will allow the church to go through a time of purification? The Lord will allow a national threshing floor. The Lord will allow a time of great shaking. In fact, He promises it. A shaking of all things. In order that His remnant, He might purify and bring forth a remnant that stands strong for Him when He returns. Isaiah is in that place. He has prophesied to the people of God, and the people of God are suffering on the threshing floor of God because ultimately the threshing floor is a place of judgment. And when we wrap this series up, we'll talk about Jesus' threshing floor when He returns. But Isaiah says, "Oh, my threshing and the grain of my floor." He's speaking to His people. And He's saying, God is saying, "Oh, my threshing and you, the grain of my floor." It's the heart of God for His people. And Isaiah says, "That which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have declared to you." Beloved, with all of my heart, to the best of my ability, I can say to you that in the time in which we're living, I believe there's a great threshing that has already begun. We may have reprieve for a little while, but it does not mean that globally and even amongst the majority in America that hearts have turned to God. There is a great shaking that is coming. And God says to you, "Oh, the grain of my threshing floor." With great tenderness of heart, He longs to bring you forth as a remnant that will burn brightly with purity of word and speech and action for the time of persecution. until the time when he returns. And to the best of my ability, like Isaiah, that which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, I have declared unto you. It is the final call. It's the final call. You see, up until now, in all of these weeks, I've just talked about how God shakes us and he does these things. It's about our individual walk with God, and it is about that. And it's about the church and how he uses the church in that way to shape us and mold us and disciple us, to put us on the threshing floor. But now we see a bigger picture. God is saying to you, if you run from your threshing floor, how are you going to stand when there is a threshing floor that shakes the whole earth? If you run from your threshing floor right now and you can't let God deal with your heart concerning someone that you have a problem with, how will you stand when the majority of a nation mocks you and hates you and wants you put away? When the threshing floor goes from being your job, goes from being your marriage, goes from being something in your heart to being worldwide scale attack against you. Now is the call. Now is the time to bow to the Lord of hosts and to let him do what he wants to do in your life. It is a time of preparation. We saw in one of our previous weeks, we saw Ruth. Naomi told Ruth when she sent her to the threshing floor of Boaz. And we didn't comment on it, but she said, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and dress your best. In other words, prepare, invest, be ready to go to the threshing floor. Go with anticipation of what God's going to do, not dread of what he might do. Prepare your heart for the threshing floor of God, because he has great things that he wants to do in your life. It is a place that is called the dealings of God. It's called the deeper life. It's called sanctification. It's called consecration. And truly, whether you are there or not is voluntary. The wheat that I described in the field, it had no choice. It was bundled up, gathered up, taken to the threshing floor and beaten. There is much of the threshing floor that you can avoid by being disobedient to God. But you won't be prepared for Jesus' threshing floor. This morning, those whose marriages are on the threshing floor, God says, let me do the work in you. Stop worrying about the other one. Let me do the work in you first and see what happens in your marriage and in your life. Let me work a miracle that you never thought would happen or could happen or ever expected. Let him do it. Because in these last days, oh, how the world needs to see marriages that shine with the victory of Christ. Amen. That are an example for others. Do you ever realize how many people out there in the world and even in the church hate the place that they're in? And they look in vain many times, and then they find a married couple who are Christians who truly love one another, who work together and lay their lives down for one another. And they find hope. They find hope. Those of you this morning whose flesh is all of us, whose flesh is on the threshing floor, that flesh nature, that old self that rises up as an enemy of God, that war between the flesh and the spirit that's taking place inside of you. Like Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long, why don't you say like Jacob, I won't let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until I get the blessing. Don't give up and let the flesh rule. Don't give up until you have victory in Christ. Those of you this morning whose direction for life is on the threshing floor, whether it's career, job, future, young people, listen, the direction of your life for the future, Satan wants nothing more than to rob your threshing floor now. Derail you from what God, the potential that He has for this grain of His in the future. I always believe there are some in this place. We all have a calling. You've heard me say that. There are some in here who are called to go to the mission field. Whether it's part-time or full-time, I don't know. There are some in here who are called to go out and minister on the streets. Go out and help those who are less fortunate than you. There are some of you who are called to preach the word and to teach. There are some of you who are called to serve in various capacities in the kingdom of God. And Satan is just robbing the threshing floor. Always has you pulled in another direction. There's always some reason that you can't prepare. You can't go in that direction. Oh, one day. When God says, if you'll follow me, I'll take care of you right now. Right now. Some of you have, you find yourself on the threshing floor of issues. We are made of issues, aren't we? Asuntos in Espanol. Issues. Unforgiveness. Threshing floor. There's the threshing floor and there's this giant monster sitting in the middle of it. Called unforgiveness, and you can't get past it. You won't ever be able to go forward in the things of God until you submit to God on the threshing floor. Bitterness. Anger. Thieves. Thieves of grain. And I'm going to close by saying that nothing, there is nothing in this world, there is no motive that can get you to the threshing floor other than love for God. Amen. My preaching won't do it. Seeing it in the Word alone won't do it. Feeling pressured won't do it, or it won't work. The only motive that will get you to the threshing floor and allow God to do His work in your life is love for God. Amen. That brings it down to the heart. Do you love Him? Have you really seen Calvary? And has your heart responded in love? Oh, beloved, there is so much that God has for you. So much that He has for you. And some of you, I say this not condescendingly at all. I've been there. Some of you are just being robbed. Just robbed of a future. Robbed. You wake up in the morning and you say, I just can't face it another day. You wake up in the morning and you're overcome with who you are. I can laugh because I've been there. I don't want to be me. It's hard being me. God has something greater for you. And it'll only happen when you come to Him in love and you believe Him and trust Him through faith. Faith. No gimmicks. No 12-step book. No 5-step book. Nothing but faith in His Word and in who He is. Amen. His promises. Amen. And in that, there is power and there are miracles. Amen. Let's stand.